praise the Lord. Well, praise the Lord. Praise God. We started working Sunday evening on Psalms 107. We're going to continue with that psalm tonight. Psalms 107. We'll begin with verse 1 and also verse 8, which is the first of the refrain of this psalm. It's about the redeemed of the Lord. They've got something to say. And there's an expectation in this psalm, an encouragement. The psalm elicits a response from those that are redeemed. Psalms 107, would you say, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Tell somebody by you, I believe that God is good, and I believe his mercy always endures. Praise God. Verse 8. Would you say, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. There is a compelling in this psalm for men and women to praise the Lord, to never forget his goodness, to never doubt his mercy, and it is the calling of the redeemed of the Lord that they would say so. Praise God. God bless you. And as you're seated, go ahead and say so. Praise God. God is good, and his mercy endures forever. God is good, and his mercy endures forever. Ah, God is good. How do you know that? Because I'm the redeemed of the Lord. How are you sure of that? I'm the redeemed of the Lord. How can you say that with such certainty? Because I've been redeemed by love divine. Well, praise God. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. This is not a job for the sinner. The sinner's not called to praise him. This is not a job for the backslidden. The backslider's not called to praise him. This is a job for the redeemed. Those that are redeemed and know that they are redeemed, they are called to say so. Nobody can praise him for you. You got to praise him for yourself. Nobody knows how it was when he found you. You've got to tell that story all by yourself. Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say he's good. And his mercy endures forever. Ask your neighbor, how do you know? Tell him, I'm the redeemed of the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Let's clap our hands unto him and bless his name. It is reason enough for me to praise him because I've been redeemed. It's reason enough for me to sing and shout, not because I got money in my pocket, not because the business is going well, not because all the worldly dreams that I have panned out just right, but I've got a song in my heart tonight and a testimony because he's redeemed me from the hand of the enemy. I want to say it according to the word of God. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. My name was on the roster of hell. Now it's written in heaven. I've got to shout about that. My destiny was tied up in eternal damnation, but now he's changed that and saved me, not because of my goodness or my strength or my blessing, but because he's a good God and because his mercies endure forever. I'm the redeemed of the Lord, and I've got to say so. I've got to say so. The word of God calls me to say so. I can't shut my mouth about this. I've got to keep talking about this. I've got to tell somebody about this. I've got to shout in the house of God. I need to sing when it's time to sing. I'm going to preach with the preacher when he's talking about the redemption of God. I'm going to go out in the city and tell somebody about it. I'm going to open up a Bible study and tell somebody about it. Well, praise God. Praise God. I want to keep a card in my pocket so I can give it to somebody. I want to keep a testimony in my... I never want the disappointments of the day to cloud my mind so that I can't see a hungry soul. I never want to get so busy that I don't have time to tell somebody about the goodness of God. Praise God. Well, praise God. Praise God. I was down at the dump today, and I hang out at the dump sometimes, you know. We had some leftover stuff out in front of Brother Jimmy and Sister Gail's house, and Dawson and I were down hauling some of that off today. And as I was leaving the dump, I wanted to make sure to tell the kid that was running the dump about church. And he's way over there on the other side of Hueytown. And who knows if he even knows where Roebuck is. He said, well, yeah, we just moved to Pinson. And we're looking for a church, and we need somewhere to go. And we got to talking about it. And I'm sitting there at his little window, and traffic's piling up behind the truck. But it's my turn. And I'm not worried about a garbage truck backing up. He's getting paid by the hour. He's all right. I'm not worried about that. I'm not feeling the pressure. What I'm feeling the pressure to do is to tell somebody about how good my God is and how worthy he is of the praise and the honor and the glory. I want you to know this. As you loose that in your life and you begin to open your mouth, you witness to this tonight. Don't you feel better when you're talking about him? Don't you feel better when you're telling somebody about him? Don't your burdens seem a little bit lighter when you've got a witness going on in your life? Praise God. Praise God. So the admonition of the scripture, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. If you've been redeemed out of the hand of the enemy, you've got to know that you're redeemed. Understand what that means. And there we went through some pictures Sunday evening in Zechariah. Joshua is there and he's filthy and he is symbolic of all of Israel. But God doesn't rebuke Joshua. God rebukes the devil that's standing at his right hand to resist him. And he said, the Lord rebuke you, devil. Even the Lord that has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. And he had new and clean clothes brought to the man Joshua, who is the emblem for all of Israel. So he said, I'm going to clean these people up. I want you to know tonight, you got disappointment and failure or sin in your life. You need to get it into the presence of God, because he is good and his mercy endures forever. And redemption is something that he loves far more than judgment. Let me say that again. God loves redemption more than he loves judgment. The word of God said that mercy rejoices against judgment or justice. Praise God. Praise God. I understand redemption, and I see it in the pages of the Word of God. Redemption is Adam and Eve standing at the outskirts of the garden. They can't go back in, but their sinful lives are covered up with animal skins, and there's blood dripping down, and there's been a sacrifice for them. And redemption can find you anywhere on the timeline of man, and God will make a sacrifice for your sin. Somebody say praise the Lord. I see redemption, the redeemed of the Lord, dancing on the banks of the Red Sea. I'm telling you, redemption will put a dance in your step. Redemption, you gotta, if you have lost your joy, you've forgotten how it feels to be redeemed. If you have lost your shout, you've forgotten what it means to be redeemed. You need to revisit what God has done for you. Somebody say praise the Lord. And I'm here tonight and I'm devoted to God because he's redeemed my rotten soul. He's redeemed my ornery hide. He's redeemed me. I was stubborn and I was recalcitrant and I was a mess. And God looked down and had mercy on me. Now I'm devoted to him. And I understand the 10th leper that came back to worship. You can go where you want to go, but I'm going to come back and worship him. I understand Magdalene that's outside the tomb looking for him. He redeemed her. She had 7 devils and she's not ashamed of her past. She's in love with a God who erased her past. Somebody say praise the Lord. She's going to stay till she finds him and ministers to his body. I want you to know you're okay with me if you're a part of the church of the living God, not because of what you are or who you are, but because of how good he is. You get an in with me because you're in with him. You get a pass with me because you're in with him. You may be the hardest project I've ever had in my life, but I'm going to work with you best I can because you belong to him, and I'm devoted to him, and I know where I came from. Well, praise God. You're offended at somebody, you've forgotten your redemption. You've got yourself in a bad attitude about somebody in the house of God, you've forgotten the pit that he digged you out of. Well, praise God. Praise God. Something happens when you get redeemed. Now, as we pursue in the psalm, verse 3, and gathered them out of the lands from the east, the west, the north, and from the south. This is an indication that the writer or the psalmist here is one of the post-captivity or post-exilic prophets or Levites, probably a Levite. And he talks about how God gathered them from their being scattered. And so this is probably a psalm that was written after the scattering and regathering the first time from Babylon. And he gathered them out of the lands from the east, the west, the north, and the south. I want you to understand this psalm is a rejoicing and a heralding of redemption. It is a discussion of redemption. And as we make our way through it, we're going to see different facets of redemption. But redemption is universal. Doesn't matter north, south, east, or west. God will reach you, find you, and draw you back to. There is no limit then. There is no limit then, whether you're talking about geography or spiritual travels. There is no limit to where God can reach and bring. Don't you say that loved one is too far away for God to reach and redeem. I'm telling you, redemption will hound them to the ends of the earth. There's no place in the spirit, no place in the natural that they can go. That if redemption can find them, they can't find a way back home. I'm just telling you, nobody's out of reach. As long as they're breathing, as long as they've got life in their body, friend, they're within reach of God. East, west, north, south, God will reach them. Redemption is universal. Everybody say redemption's universal. Doesn't matter about the distance. It doesn't matter about the degree of separation. It doesn't matter how far away they've wandered. That fourth verse said they wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way, and they found no city to dwell in. This is specifically speaking of Israel, but Israel is a type and a shadow of all humanity as God begins to deal with them. And everybody that's never been redeemed is wandering in a wilderness in a solitary way. And they find no city to dwell in. Is there a witness in the house tonight that before you came to God, you just felt kind of aimless and like you were wandering and didn't really get it and didn't really understand? And you may not have known what you were and where you were until you came into redemption. And then when you look back, you said, my God, I was in a wilderness and I didn't even know it. I just thought that was normal. Is there a witness in the house that can say, I was in a wilderness and I was wandering aimlessly, but God came to me? And God, you see, the refrain is still the same. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Somebody needs to know tonight that you were in that wilderness. I know where you are, friend. I know how you feel. You feel like you're wandering around. Now, she's dressed up and she looks like she's professional and she's in her place of business, or she's there at that bank desk, or she's in that place of a power or authority, and you're looking at her and you think she's got her life together. But you got to understand this: without redemption in her life, no matter how the outside's dressed up, no matter how affluent she may look, no matter how successful she may be in a natural sense, in her heart and in her spirit, she's wandering around in the wilderness without any guidance in her life, and she's hungry for what you have. But if you deal with her only within the facade that you have and the facade that she has, and you only meet in those superficial ways, and you never reach in because you've got the power to blast through that external wall. You've got the power to blast through that facade, that sheen of worldliness and fulfillment that the world seems to give. And in your insecurity, you might say, well, she doesn't want what I have. She won't come. You don't know. She's hungry for it right now. She's hungry for it right now. She's wandering in a wilderness. She needs it right now. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Somebody's got to come to her and say, I was walking where you're walking. You say, that sounds spooky. That sounds like some weirdo charismatic prophet coming up. No, no, no. I know where she is. I know what she's feeling. I wandered in that same wilderness. And in that moment where you make eye contact with her, go ahead and tell her, I was in that wilderness. I was wandering and I was hungry. Because you don't know. Her home's falling apart. Her children are wondering. She's lying awake at night. She's trying everything under the stars to get relief in her life, and she's wondering, but you're put off perhaps by that external that you see, but you've got to break through that. The word of God is compelling you tonight. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Your testimony of redemption is the bridge work for them to come out. Your testimony of God's salvation is a lifeline to them where they are. There is nothing more powerful in your arsenal of dealing with the humanity around you than your own personal testimony. All you can say is what they don't want to hear, what you know about somebody else. They don't want to hear a story that you heard from somebody else. But what will connect with them is when you say, I wandered in a solitary place. I wandered in a wilderness place, and now I've been brought into the kingdom and the community of God. They wandered with no city. They wandered in a solitary way. Outside of redemption, you may be covered up with people, but you're lonely. You may be in a stadium full of people, but you're solitary. You don't have the real. People are hungry for connections. People are hungry for connections. They'll go on the internet and they'll meet people that they can't know anything about at all, in hopes of having a relationship. They'll go down to a bar room to try to find somebody to have a relationship with. They'll have illicit sexual experience with somebody trying to have a relationship. But you, let me tell you something tonight. You can have a sexual experience with somebody and never touch them in intimacy, and never connect as souls. Wandering through a wilderness together, trying to find redemption. Praise God. But you've been there, and you've got what they need. And the scripture's compelling you. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. Oh, that in your school and in your workplace, you would open up your heart and just begin to tell people how good God is. Maybe 99 of the first 100 will say, oh, I don't want that, or you're an idiot, or you're a lunatic. But there's one, I'm telling you, there's one out there. There's just one. And it doesn't matter how much you get rebuffed, but there's one out there that's hungry that's going to come. Now, I'll tell you, all of them are wandering in the same wilderness. You just gotta touch them. So the scripture's compelling you tonight. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. All you gotta do is say so. They're wandering in a solitary way, and they have no city to dwell in. Well, my God, they're living in a city. Speaking of Israel, their Jerusalem is destroyed. Their sense of community is destroyed. But anybody who lives outside redemption is living outside of communion. Anybody that's living outside of redemption is living in a solitary place, and they're lonely on the inside, and they're hungry for some intimate contact. I was so amazed. I had friends all through high school. I had friends at college. I had friends that were family connections. But I never felt connection in my life like I felt when I began to plug in to that apostolic church. I had never seen anything like it in all my life. And the longer you're in it, the more you might take it for granted. But I'm telling you, there is nothing like the sweetness, communion, and camaraderie of the people of God. There is nothing. I have images that are imprinted in my mind. I'm standing in the emergency room of a local hospital, and there's a 9 or 11 year old boy laid out on a gurney there, and he's not going to make it, and daddy's in a corner over there all balled up on the floor, and mama's standing at the head of that gurney praying just profound and impossible prayers of faith. And I walk out, and in the waiting room, there's 50 or 60 people, and they've got those things on their head that they used to cover up their curlers with. They've got their house coats on. They've got their slippers on. They come in from work. They've got their work clothes on. But I mean, the house of God is in the waiting room at that hospital. The house of God is the family of God, the friends of God, the redeemed of God are a community like no other, like you can't find. How many of you have testified to that? How many of you have said that with your own mouth? I have a family, but nobody's like my church family. I had friends, but when I came to God, they all walked away. But my God, I've got friends in the house of God. Oh, let's clap our hands unto him and bless his name. Is that your testimony tonight? If it's not, you've forgotten what it feels like to be redeemed. But my God, we sing a song. It makes me love everybody. It makes me love everybody. I tell you, I'm glad to be in the house of God tonight. I'm just glad. You think I'm just talking when I tell you. I'm just glad they let me in. I'm not just talking. I'm telling you the ever-loving truth tonight. I'm glad they let me in. They didn't have to let me in. They could have rejected me. They didn't have to tell me. Tommy Mitchell stood in an altar area, told my wife and I, she hates for me to tell this, but he said, y'all the last people I ever thought I'd see singing in a Pentecostal choir. It wasn't because we were so bad. It was just because he didn't think anybody at his high school wanted to live for God. He didn't follow me around. In the next few verses, we're going to, give me that next verse, Brother Ray. In the next few verses, we're talking about the fact that they don't have anything to drink, that they're thirsty and they're hungry and their soul is fainting within them. They're in a wilderness place. And you know what they're doing? They're going out and they're, you know what they're going to do for the holidays? They're going to spend billions of dollars on drink and on drugs and on something that's going to make them feel festive and happy. And the height of the season is the height of the suicide season, because they can't get happy artificially. They're trying to drink their way to it. They're trying to snort their way to it. They're hungry and they're thirsty. But you've got something, and the redeemed of God need to say so. You need to be able to say, I was where you are. I was hungry. I was thirsty. But now I'm living in a place called redemption, and God has forgiven me, and I've got something. Jesus said it'll be a well springing up into everlasting life. He told that woman, he said, if you drink of this water, you won't ever thirst again. And what does that mean? It means I'm not hungry for anything else. It means I'm not hungry for anything else. I've got everything I need when I've got him. And I've got my sins cleansed. And I've got this Holy Ghost. You can lose touch with your redemption. You can lose touch with how important it is and how powerful it is. But I was hungry and I was thirsty. See, Tommy didn't understand that. He didn't follow me around on Friday nights and on Saturday nights. I was 15 years old. My dad had just died. My mom checked out. I had the car keys. I'd go anywhere I wanted, do anything I wanted. Sister Sutton had to be home at 10:30. Her mom had standards. She was Presbyterian, but I better not bring her home after 10:30. So I'd take Sister Sutton home at 10:30, and then I'd go out and run the streets all night some nights. I'd go out to every bar room. When I was 15, I looked like I was 20. And now I'm 50, I look like I'm 80. And it's bad how that happens, but I could go into any joint in town and not get carded. And I went, and you asked me about playing organized sports. And I'll tell you this. I didn't know anything about sin until I started hanging out in that locker room. And those seniors took me when I was a ninth grader and a tenth grader and took me out and got me drunk every weekend of my high school life. They introduced me to drugs. They introduced me to drink. They introduced me to all kinds of things I won't even talk about here. And if I've got an attitude about organized sports, let me tell you, I've been there. If you haven't, shut up. Let me just stop here for a minute about that. You want to let them play when they're little bitty? You let them play. Then you're going to go to their games. And then you have tacitly said, we'll go to Friday nights at the high school game. And then you've tacitly said, we'll go to Saturdays at the college game. And then the pros play on Sunday. And you know what you just did? You just closed the door on the house of God. That's why the Dominoes can't have church on Sunday night. That's why they can't get a crowd together on Sunday night. My God, I don't want our kids off at some high school's gymnasium or stadium on a Friday night. I want them here fellowshipping people of like precious faith. I don't want them out fraternizing with the world. I want them in the house of God and around the community of God. We have a city. We are not solitary. We are the people of God. We were not a people, but by his word, he's redefined us and he's made us a people. I know what that hunger and thirst is like. I know what it's like to be 15, 16 and across the river. That's where you went in Baton Rouge. You went across the river. And across the river was all the joints over there. And I'd drive that big old Bonneville, go over across the river. And I'd go meet some friends. And we'd drink and we'd talk and we'd... Jermaine, I remember being so wasted and blasted as a 16 or 17-year-old that I would walk to every table in that joint and drink what was ever on their table and kill it. That's not good for your stomach. I remember laying out in that parking lot with my head hanging out the truck, messing up the sleeve of my jacket. I remember my friend driving me home and putting me in his bed. And I don't remember much about that particular night, but I know that was nights throughout. You want to ask me about the nights in my high school years? My high school years were full of nights like that. And as soon as I found out about drugs, I started doing the drugs. And if you'd have asked me, what are you hungry for? I wouldn't have known. If you'd have asked me what I was thirsty for, I wouldn't. But I was eating and drinking everything in sight. They're hungry. And they're thirsty. And the scripture says, if you're redeemed, would you please say so? If you're redeemed, you know what they're thirsty for. You know what they're hungry for. I sat in physics and in chemistry with a little holy roller gal right across the aisle from me. I knew she was different, but I didn't know what she was. She never told me what she was. It is the grace of God that I didn't wrap that car around a foam pole or drive it up into a culvert, because when I would come home at night, it would just be a whistle. I'd buried that big old motor, and we were cruising down Hooper Road at 120 and burying that speedometer, and if I'd have hit a good-sized dragonfly, I'd have gone into pieces. I think about it and I shudder, because I would have blasted out of that windshield and I would have gone straight into a devil's hell. I was hungry and I was thirsty and nobody told me. And there were redeemed kids in my school, and I'm not mad at them and I'm not angry at them. God by grace brought me through. But I'm trying to tell you, you don't know about these people that are around you. I'm telling you, the scripture says they're hungry. They're thirsty. They feel like they're wandering around in a wilderness and they don't have any hope, but you've got it. You've got what they're hungry for. And the devil turns the thing upside down and tells you you're a weirdo. You don't fit in. They don't want to be like you. You don't even want to be like you. You don't need to tell them what you are. You won't be accepted. You won't be popular. Nobody believes that. My God, you've been given the keys to the city of God, and they're dying for what you have. My God, could we just praise him a little bit right now? Could the redeemed of the Lord just say so right now? Could you just praise him for his goodness and because his mercies endure forever? Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Shake somebody by you and say, I'm the redeemed of the Lord, and I'm going to say so. Come on, tell somebody, hear me now. God is good, and his mercies endure forever. Shake him a little and say, he will bring you out of the wilderness. It doesn't matter how far you've wandered. God can bring you out. See, you don't know, but the word of prophecy is nigh you. It's even in your mouth.
As you speak to them, you can say, I know how lonely you are. And that loneliness won't ever go away until you meet God at an altar of redemption. Now, they may laugh at you, and they may say, you're an idiot. You're just a stupid holy roller. It happened today. Yeah. But that word resonates in them, and they'll lie awake at night, and they hear the call of the altar, but they struggle with it. But it's not your job to drag them. It's not your job to convince them. It's just your job to tell them. Tell them there's a God that can bring you out of a solitary place. There's a God that can give you something to drink, and you won't need the rot gut anymore. You won't need to be an alcoholic anymore. You won't need to be a drug addict anymore. You can throw your cigarettes down. You won't need a pacifier anymore, because the Holy Ghost is going to be your pacifier. Somebody say, I'm the redeemed of the Lord, and I'm going to say so. My God, do you hear the Holy Ghost in this house? There's people all around you that are wandering, and they're lonesome, and they're solitary, and they're hungry, and they're thirsty. And the scripture said, oh, that men would praise the Lord. Oh, that the redeemed of the Lord would say so. All of hell wants you to think you're a misfit. Apostolic, and nobody wants what you have. My God, stand up like a giant in that school. Loose your mouth. One of the largest high schools in Baton Rouge, an old Sybil Artigue was their valedictorian, and she stood in their graduating ceremony that year, and she sang, I was sinking deep in sin, far. She started singing, love lifted me. She started singing about amazing grace. How sweet the sound. Nobody in that place heckled her down. Nobody in that place said, you can't sing that here. Nobody in that place tried to shut her down. What she was saying was, and I remember driving back with her from a street meeting one day. And we were probably 20, 21. And so those kids were probably 14. I said, you don't know who Groucho Marx is, do you? She said, I started reeling off television characters and movie stars and rock stars. And she didn't know who none of them were. She had no idea. And I thought, this is great. This is wonderful. This is so awesome. They've raised her up in this house of God. They've kept a television out of their house. They've kept their lives right before God. Their kids don't know anything about this world that's outside. And that kid dominates her high school scholastically. And in a moment of clarity for that whole crowd, she's saying, I'm the redeemed of the Lord, and I'm going to say so. You need to walk with this and know that God will open a door and give you a moment and bring you into a place. My God, wherever there's a king, there's always going to be a Daniel. Where there's a Pharaoh, there'll be a Joseph. No, you need to hear this. God's looking for somebody that'll stand in the middle of a pagan world and say, I am the redeemed of the Lord. This is a psalm about redemption. It's a psalm. Go ahead to verse 6. They cried to the Lord in trouble. He delivered them out of their distress. If somebody can just bring them to the place where they cry out, if those kids at your school, those men and women on your job, those people in your neighborhood, if somebody can provoke them until they say, God, if what they told me is true, please come to me. My wife's looking out the window at a starry night. She's OD'd on drugs. She thinks she's dying, and she hates me to tell this story. First time I told it was at Louisiana camp meeting. 8,000 people were there. I had come to get ordained, and she was trying to be a preacher's wife, and she just kind of folded up in the pew. Because I said, my wife was OD'd on drugs. And she was like, oh, no. Because all these homegrown people were around her. But she looked out in that starry night and she said, God, if you can make all that, surely you can make yourself known to me. What a profound prayer. What a profound prayer. And it wasn't but just a couple of weeks. Somebody in our group got a hold of a Josh McDowell tape. And it wasn't but just a few weeks after that, we were convinced the Bible was true. And then it wasn't long after that, we were hooked up with some apostolics. And we couldn't get away from them because they answered us every question we had to ask. They answered out of the Word of God. Nobody else in town. I talked to priests and to bishops. I talked to preachers. I called and debated everything I could find in the Yellow Pages. And I kept going back to those weird people, those weird apostolics. We couldn't connect with them culturally or socially, but they were so good in the Word of God. Well, praise God. And I know my wife prayed a simple prayer. She cried out to God, tonight, there's somebody within your reach that is contemplating suicide. Tonight, there's somebody within your reach that is praying a prayer. God, if I knew how to find you. But you can get so caught up in living here that you forget that you are the redeemed of the Lord and that your most important purpose in your life is to say so, is to tell somebody he'll find you in the wilderness. He'll give you water to drink and bread to eat. You'll never thirst. You'll never hunger again. He'll bring you in from a solitary place. He'll put you in a household full of people that will love you and strengthen you and be a blessing to your life. Somebody say praise the Lord. Why don't we stand together? I'm done. Let's come down around the altar tonight. Praise God. Touch somebody and tell them, I'm the redeemed of the Lord. I'm going to say so. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Come on down and just begin to pray, if you would, and to magnify God. Praise God. Touch somebody and tell them, I've got something in me the whole world wants. Shake somebody and tell them, I've got something in me the whole world needs. Hallelujah. Raymond, you're the bridge work. You're how they get there. God always uses a vessel. You're how they get there. They can't come without you. Praise God. Brother King, the people that witnessed to us, we thought they were geniuses. They had had the Holy Ghost for 6 months. And they answered all our questions. Let me tell you something. There are no new questions. I haven't heard a new question in years. Same old questions. And you already have the answers. Our Sunday schoolers have the answers. You are well equipped in word and in spirit and in experience. Praise God. And there's nobody in this town that can bring them to God but you. Just, can you get your hands on that? There's nobody in this town that can bring them to God. There's nobody at your school that can usher in revival but you. There's nobody on your job that can bring in revival but you. All those hard-headed people on that job, all those craftsmen and contractors, they're hungry. They're hungry. Some of them are going to drink themselves blind this weekend. Some of them are going to try to live vicariously through some football star or basketball star. But none of that's going to fill them up. They're hungry. Brother Larry, everybody on that line is hungry for what you have. Praise God. Praise God. Get with one person there around you. You might have to be three if there's an odd person by you. I don't mean odd, strange. I just mean odd in number. But I want you to tell them, I'm going to pray for you that you'll find your voice and that you will say so. Tell everybody you know and everyone you meet that you are the redeemed of the Lord. Praise God. Come on, pray for them. Pray an anointing on their witness. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his mercies. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. Pray for him in the Holy Ghost. I know you've already said what you know to say, but I want you to let the Holy Ghost to pray a prayer for them. Let's praise him a little bit here tonight. I'm the redeemed of the Lord. I've got everything I need to change my city, to shake my school, to make a move of God fall down on my job. Bless his name. Praise God. My, my, my. We need to have a little prayer before we leave. Sister Cynthia, why don't you stand for Sister Faith tonight? We're going to take her back to the hospital. And we need God to just move in that place right now. And Sister Karen, why don't you stand here for a pastor's wife in Louisiana by the name of Sister Couch. And she's in need of a miracle right now. And some of you ladies, would you gather around here and let's, church, all over the church, let's pray for these two ladies, Sister Faith and Sister Couch. God's hand of blessing on them right now. In the name above every name. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the name above every name, in Jesus' name. He's a prayer answering God, a good God, and worthy of all the praise. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, Sister Brantley, you have some deliveries to make. And I see the Nichols and Sister Katie here tonight. But we need somebody here that'll meet Sister Brantley back in the conference room that would be able to deliver a ham to the Biscottos tomorrow. All right? And I'll get my list out. Sister Katie's here, so we can deliver, somebody deliver that ham to Sister Katie tonight. And the Greens are in this loop also. And I need somebody that can deliver that out to the Greens tomorrow. Just if you're in the need of a good deed, just ready to do something. This stuff's going to get delivered whether you jump on board or not, but I'm just giving you an opportunity to be involved in something neat. Okay? So meet with Sister Brantley back in the prayer in the conference room. And happy Thanksgiving. Be blessed. Eat the fat and drink the sweet. And save a portion for those that don't have any.